Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 26, 2021. Armed men attack the Catholic bishop-elect for Rumbek Diocese.
In the night at around 1, some people came at my door and they were trying to enter. And then when they saw the door was locked, they shoot at the door.
And an executive chief is abducted by a known gunman in Central Equatoria State.
It was 9:30 when a group of people came and these are known gunmen and kidnapped a chief by name called Johnson Duarte.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. An identified gunman shot and wounded the Catholic bishop-elect for Rumbek Diocese. Reverend Father Christian Kalesari was attacked in Rumbek Town on Sunday night. The bishop-elect says the armed men opened fire at the door of his bedroom, wounding him on both legs. Lake State Governor Makur Kulang condemned the attack and called on the Catholic faithful to remain calm as the government investigates the attack. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from the Lake State capital, Rumbek.
Bishop-elect Kalasar says the armed men stormed his residence and opened fire, shooting him in both legs.
In the night at around 1, some people came at my door and they were trying to enter. And then when they saw the door was locked, they shoot at the door and I was not able to hold it closed. When the door was open, I came out and asked for what they wanted. And then they start shooting low at my legs.
The bishop-elect is asking the Catholic priest and all the people of goodwill to pray for him as he recuperates for his injuries as well as for the people of Rumbek.
You pray for me and we pray all for Rumbek. That God may have mercy on us and the people of Rumbek, that we may receive his mercy and his graces. We also forgive those that commit these kind of actions. We don't carry any grudge. We know that God is greater than everything, and he can convert our heart and bring bad things into good. So let us be united in prayer. Let us be good Christians and trust the Lord, that the Lord may do something good for our community.
Father Andrea Osman Okello, director of St. Josephine Bakita Minor Seminary Mopodit, an eyewitness to the attack, says he came rushing out of his room after hearing the bishop's call for help, but the gunman chased him away, ordering him to go back to his room. He says one of the two gunmen holding AK-47s fired bullets over his head to scare him.
I saw two at 12-something, 12:40-something. I hear father is shouting, Abunas, Abunas, why, Jama? I saw them all, two people with the two guns. And then the one tried to shoot me, to stop me. He say, Nyairot. And then when I raised my hand, he tried to shoot me. The one who was fired shot father in the leg, and I saw the father fall down. And when the father fell down, they ran away.
Monsignor Father John Matiang Machol says he too was asleep but jumped out of bed and ran towards the area where he heard the gunshots and someone shouting. Monsignor Machol condemned the attack.
It should not happen here because the life is very important for us, and the service the bishop is doing for this church that he has been coming here. We receive him wholeheartedly, and then we welcome him, and this thing has shocked us. Me, I'm really shocked. I don't know what to say.
Lake State Governor Makur Kulang Lie also condemned the attack and called on the Catholic faithful to remain calm and allow the government to investigate the attack on the bishop's house.
We, the government of Lake State, and the people of Lake State,
Bishop-elect Christian Kalsare, who was appointed on March 8th as the new shepherd of the Rumbek Diocese. He arrived in Rumbek on April 15 to acquaint himself with the Christian in the diocese and to prepare for his installation on May 23rd. Kalsare was flown to Juba this morning, and he will be transported to Nairobi, where he will undergo further treatment. The motive behind the attack is not clear. This marks the second time a Catholic priest has been attacked in Lagos State. In 2018, a Jesuit priest was shot dead during the night at his residence in Chebet County. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, Rumbek, Lagos State.
The Commissioner of Police in Yei River County, Major General Yosa Lujang Kamba, says a group of unknown armed men attacked and abducted Chief Johnson Luate at his residence over the weekend. The South Sudan People's Defense Force Public Relations Director in Yei, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Machar, confirms a community chief was abducted over the weekend. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei.
Yei River County Police Commissioner Major General Yosa Lujang Kamba says gunmen attacked and abducted Executive Chief Johnson Luate at his residence on Saturday night.
It was 9 something when a group of people came and these are known armed men and kidnapped a chief by name called Johnson Luate. It was actually confirmed that he was the only person abducted during the investigation.
Lojang says after abducting the chief, the attackers shoot into the air to scare people as they were leaving the area. Mention John Luate, a son of the abducted chief, is calling on authorities to find his father and make sure he returns home safely.
What has happened to my dad is not good, and I don't have the power to find him, and if the government can find where he is and bring him back safely to the family, that will be good for us.
A Kondek Oboma resident, who identifies herself only as Sunday for fear of reprisals, is calling on the government to beef up security and do more to protect civilians in the area.
I want the government to ensure that there is a tight security in the area, because now if such kind of things are happening, we as the civilians, we are now in danger. If our chiefs are the ones being kidnapped, then what will happen to us as the civilians?
Lieutenant Colonel Michael Machar, the SSPDF Civil Military Relations Director in Yei, is urging the abductors to unconditionally release the community leader.
We do not know where she is, and we are calling on those who took him, those who kidnapped him, to set him free, because we are in the process of implementing peace. There is no need for such activities to be carried out when we are at the center of implementing peace at the moment. We condemn this in a strong possible term, because we are at the center of implementing and observe the cessation of hostilities.
Both Lujang and Machar say calm has returned to the Kondeko area after the incident. The 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement and the Rome Declaration on the Cessation of Hostilities Agreement prohibit the abduction of civilians in the country. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei, Central Equatorial State.
The South Sudan government has ordered organizations involved in demining across parts of central and eastern Equatorial States to suspend work due to what the government calls security reasons. The spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, Brigadier General Santo Demik, says the move is aimed at addressing insecurity along major roads in central Equatoria, where rebels recently attacked commuter vehicles and commercial trucks. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
In recent weeks, unknown gunmen have carried out several attacks on cars and commercial trucks along the Juba-Yei Road as well as the Juba-Nimule Road, leaving several people dead and several others injured. Brigadier General Santo Domich, spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Force, or SSPDF, says the government decided to suspend the demining work in certain areas due to the repeated road ambushes and attacks. He says the decision was taken to ensure the safety of the deminers and to give security forces the space they need to address insecurity along the Juba-Nimule, Juba-Yei Kaya, and Juba-Torit roads and other roads.
The SSPDF leadership decided to reinforce it already existing forces along those highways and roads, at least to make sure that roads are supposed to be secure and peaceful for the movement of anybody, including international humanitarian operators, regional commercial trucks, nationals and everybody.
Domic says the SSPDF is bolstering its forces along the three main roads to deal with the haul-out groups, which he says are causing insecurity along the roads.
During the process of trying to put a strong grip on security along those roads, the SSPDF advised the miners along all these roads and highways at least to suspend their operations for a while until when we make sure that the security along the roads comes back to its normality. And then, of course, the suspension will be lifted. So this is just a periodical process, but it will not take long.
Domic has accused rebels of the National Salvation Front, or NAS, of carrying out many of the attacks on cars and commercial trucks along the roads. NAS spokesperson Samuel Suba has repeatedly denied the allegations. Domic says while the organizations conducting the mining activities along the roads have suspended their work, government security forces will provide escorts to vehicles traveling along the affected roads.
For instance, trucks are moving maybe from Juba back to Uganda. Of course, they have to be accumulated into a number of trucks. Then, of course, they will be provided with security escort until they reach the first point of SSPDF detach. Then they will be handed over to that detach, and then also that detach continues, you know, escorting them to the next until they reach Nimoli. This is in case of any suspiciousness about one point along the highway.
Richard Bolter, Senior Program Manager at the United Nations Mine Action Service, or UNMAS, one of the organizations involved in the mining, says it is highly unusual for the government to ask UNMAS to suspend its work in various locations across the country. Bolter says UNMAS is left with no other option than to relocate a number of its staff from the mentioned locations.
It's disruptive. It's far from catastrophic, you know. It's like you're painting a house, frankly, and you're told to stop painting the walls in one room, so you move into another room and start painting that instead. At the end of the day, you get that house painted in the same amount of time with just a little bit of disruption.
Bolter says all UNMAS wants from the government is the support it needs to clear mines. He says he hopes the security operations are completed as soon as possible so the deminers can resume their work.
We're unsure of how quickly it will be, how soon it will be before they can go back to work. That for us is the question, how long this suspension is going to last. And we don't know the answer to that question.
UNMAS says the Equatorial region, where the government has suspended the mining activities in some parts, remains one of the most contaminated areas in the country, with landmines and other unexploded ordinances. UNMAS says much of the mine contamination in the Equatorial region straddles the primary return routes for an estimated 880,000 refugees in Uganda and 80,000 others in the Democratic Republic of Congo. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the world celebrates progress made towards eliminating malaria. Find out how after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it? My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way. But hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, a composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. This year's commemoration of World Malaria Day celebrates the progress being made in eliminating the disease. The World Health Organization is calling for action to build on these achievements and continue the work to create a malaria-free world. For VOA News, Lisa Schrein reports from Geneva.
Despite the COVID-19 pandemic and multiple other crises, 24 countries are reported to have stopped malaria transmission for 3 or more years by the end of 2020. To date, 38 countries and territories have been certified malaria-free by the World Health Organization, including most recently El Salvador, Algeria, and Sri Lanka. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says malaria elimination is a viable goal for all countries, no matter how far they may be from the ultimate target.
WHO has identified a set of 25 countries with the potential to reach zero malaria within the next 5 years. Working together, building on each other's success, and supported with sustained funding, we can dare to dream of a malaria-free world.
Malaria is a preventable, treatable disease, yet every year it kills more than 400,000 people, most of them young children in sub-Saharan Africa. Additionally, more than 200 million people become newly infected with this deadly parasitic disease every year. Over the last 20 years, WHO reports more than 7.5 million deaths and 1.5 billion cases have been averted, most in sub-Saharan Africa. Despite this remarkable progress, director of WHO's Global Malaria Program, Pedro Alonso, says most cases and deaths continue to take place in Africa.
While Africa is the source of many of the big success stories in terms of impact, it is also the place where that carries the brunt of the disease and where we are finding it hard to make further progress. Nigeria and DRC, because they're also very large populations, account for nearly 50% of all the global burden of disease.
WHO says political commitment is crucial to ending malaria. The UN Health Agency says most countries that have reached zero malaria have strong primary health care systems that ensure access to malaria prevention, diagnosis, and treatment. WHO estimates up to $4.5 billion a year will be required to stamp out malaria. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on malaria issues, severe disruption to treated mosquito nets, campaigns and inaccessibility to anti-malaria medicine could lead to a doubling in the number of malaria deaths in sub-Saharan Africa this year compared to 2018. This, according to World Health Organization's report released for this year's World Malaria Day, which was commemorated yesterday. World Health Organization says Africa accounts for more than 90% of malaria infections and deaths globally. As Moreno Giambo reports from Milwaukee in the United States, malaria kills more children and pregnant women in Kenya. But help is on the way from Oxford University, which announced 77% trial efficiency of its R21 Matrix M malaria vaccine.
Malaria is a life-threatening disease caused by parasites that are transmitted to people through mosquito bites. Although malaria is curable, the World Health Organization estimates that the disease kills more than 400,000 people globally, most of them being children, as sub-Saharan Africa accounts for 94% of the deaths. Dr. Nathan Mulure, head of public affairs at Novartis in sub-Saharan Africa, said that most countries in Africa are affected by simple malaria, the type of malaria that is not life-threatening, as Congo, Nigeria, and Uganda carry the highest burden of malaria cases in Africa.
There are two types of malaria, simple malaria or uncomplicated malaria, and there's complicated malaria. So in uncomplicated malaria is where you have fever, joint pains, lack of appetite. You can still maybe walk, you're not too sick. If you look at the parasite blood count, it's not too high. But simple malaria can actually complicate, can worsen into complicated malaria.
Former Kenya rugby sevens coach Benjamin Ayimba is battling cerebral malaria, a severe type of malaria that affects the brain. According to the family, Ayimba has been critically ill of the severe malaria for months now.
My brother is truly sick. He's struggling for his life, but he's still there. And we thank God for everything and for his life and for what he's given to this nation.
Dr. Mulure says cerebral malaria can cause a lot of damages to the brain that can as well lead to stroke.
In the case of cerebral malaria, what really happens is that the parasites have really affected the red blood cells. And in the small blood vessels of the brain, these parasites can actually block the blood vessels and cause stroke-like features and even cause nerve damage.
Scientists have been on the run to develop malaria vaccines for years now, and a new malaria vaccine is being hailed as a game changer in the fight to eliminate the disease. R21 Matrix M, the Oxford Institute malaria vaccine, has proved 77% effective at preventing infection and is now entering larger human trials to rule out any side effects. Senior advisor, African Leaders Malaria Alliance, Dr. Willis Akwale, said that the vaccine trial in Burkina Faso is life-changing for sub-Saharan Africa.
Malaria can be very dynamic. The vectors in Burkina Faso, the parasite dynamics within regions can vary. So I predict they want to test it. I had four countries, and we are hoping those four countries will offer diversity in terms of malaria transmission.
According to WHO, despite the challenges posed by COVID-19 pandemic, a number of countries reported zero indigenous malaria cases in 2020. WHO says in every 2 minutes, a child dies of malaria, and the 2021 malaria theme is Zero Malaria, with the tagline, every malaria case is preventable and every malaria death is unacceptable. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
From malaria issues, we move to COVID. Overwhelmed hospitals in India begged for oxygen supplies on Saturday as the country's coronavirus infection soared again overnight in a tsunami of disease, setting a new world record for cases for the third consecutive day. Reuters' Libby Hogan reports.
Oxygen factories in India are being pushed to their limits as overwhelmed hospitals begged for oxygen supplies on Saturday. The country's coronavirus infections have soared in what is being described as a tsunami by the Delhi High Court, setting a world record for cases for a third consecutive day. In Lucknow, the capital of India's most populous state, Uttar Pradesh, queues snaked around the corner at oxygen factories, with people holding empty cylinders, hoping to fill them up with oxygen for patients. At a nearby hospital, staff member Amit Verma told reporters that the situation was desperate.
Only three cylinders are left and four have expired. You can see for yourself if you don't believe me. There are bodies lying in the hospital and this whole truck is filled with empty cylinders.
The Indian government had itself declared it had beaten the coronavirus in February when new cases fell to all-time lows. However, health experts say the country became complacent as the government lifted restrictions that allowed big social gatherings and political rallies. Meanwhile, the Indian government has asked Twitter to take down dozens of tweets, including some by local lawmakers that were critical of India's handling of the outbreak. Twitter responded and withheld some of the tweets as the government made a legal request to the company. It followed the government's emergency order to censor the tweets. India has hit a rate of one COVID-19 death in just under every 4 minutes in Delhi as the capital's underfunded health system buckles. The government has deployed military planes and trains to get oxygen to Delhi from the far corners of the country and overseas, including Singapore.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and the Africa Center for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. Let's know what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with the song Piraher by D. Kut.
Yoku jamme jamma nguiler wo da baba ben beye keda pirager akornum pirager akorman fany ku pirchu ko mit ke bay sudan mel ku ne piro piro kaneng ka korke piro kaneng mike ne pirager wo kai kol tuluñ wey banru jengre wo tu wey ndugo kay bako ke dole ben jengru jengru akola panda berawe jengru jengru ben jambo mit ke sausu jengru jengru woluñ wey ndugo jengru jengru wo kay kot ke bay ci dong banru jengru ku yak pingu yak jam nge nge jam yak jam we dorur yone pantuk a ci ndoru ku ne ray mi ke ding dok mat ke jeng ben ben bi ya ban moy akwa daka ci njuru war wo ni e pe ni no ma ci njuru war wo rel pe wo to panda ke ki ni wo adona ka nga to bay ci nga gam wo jengru jengru bi ay jengru jengru wo kay ko ci luñ wey banru jengru wo tu wey ni ndugo jengru jengru.
We've been listening to Decode with the song Peer Ahir. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kai bako kedwalaben
dengeru dengeru
akola panda berawi
dengeru dengeru
and jambo mit ke saw so
dengeru dengeru
waluñ way nyindego
dengeru dengeru
wakai kot ke bai ci dong pangeru dengeru.